Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 133, stanzas 1 and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord long as thy name shall last. The righteous judgments of her king let Zion and her daughters sing. Psalter 133, stanzas 1 and 3. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. Acts 16, beginning at verse 16, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Acts 16, beginning at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told the saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness that we, with our families, as a congregation, individually, that we may enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us, that we may yet be in the time of grace, in the land of the living, that thou art yet willing to speak to us. For, Lord, we know in this past week that many have exchanged time for eternity. Also, a little baby in Alberta. Remember the Den Hollander family. Remember also the family in Chilliwack, with a five-year-old girl that passed away. Lord, what a wonder that we with our children may yet be in the time of grace. O Lord, sanctify these callings. We know the old must die, but also now we hear again that the young, the very young, as we've also experienced in this congregation, can also be called out of this life to stand before thee. And Lord, then we beg and pray thee that thou would prepare each one of us for that moment that we are called out of this life to stand before thee, a holy, a just, and also a merciful Lord God of heaven and earth, our Creator, against whom we have sinned and we are guilty before thee, with our rebellion against thee in paradise, but also each one of us with our own personal sins. Lord, we beg thee then that by the preaching of thy precious word, law, and gospel, that thou would accompany it with the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again. Lord, thou hast said through the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt gather thy church, that through the proclamation of thy word sinners will be born again, but also through the preaching of thy precious gospel, of thy precious word, that faith will be worked in the hearts of sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou who art that faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah, in thee and whom there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, that thou would come among us, and thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, wilt thou then look upon us in mercy, but a wonder that we may have another day, that we may yet be in the land of the living in the first day of this week on the Lord's day. And we pray then, Lord, that thou would give those blessings that no man can give us, that we need those blessings of that renewing grace in our hearts, of those fruits that thou alone can give and work by thy free and sovereign grace, not only of a new birth, but also of repentance, of godly sorrow, of fleeing away from all sin, of confessing sin, of seeking thee, of hating sin, and hungering, thirsting after righteousness, but also of that true saving faith, which is a gift of God, to believe not only who we are, who thou art, but also the testimony, the record of thy dear Son, the only Savior, whom thou hast given into this world. Thou hast sent him to fulfill thy will, to fulfill the law for transgressors, to be willing to be made the Lamb of God, to give himself as a sacrifice to pay that debt that no sinner can pay and must pay. O Lord, we beg thee then that thou would richly bless the preaching of thy holy word to the honor, to the glory of thy name, to the coming of thy kingdom, that sinners would be born again, and that sinners would become lost and guilty sinners before thee. And oh, may they know and have that question, what must I do to be saved? And that they may hear it, that thou hast said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. O wilt thou give them those graces that we do not have of ourselves, that we cannot bring forth of ourselves? We can never give ourselves a new heart. We can never make ourselves alive to seek thee. It's all death. We're in bondage. We have brought ourselves willingly under bondage of sin, Satan, and the world. And we need thee, that almighty God, to bring out of bondage, to give that freedom, that liberty, to deliver, as thou only can, upon the merits of thy dear Son. And Lord, by nature we can only bring forth unbelief. We have that same question. Has the Lord said so? Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, renew, teach, lead and guide, and give those graces that flow out of the merits of thy dear Son and are applied into the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, as we heard last week from thy word, that thou hast opened the heart of Lydia. Oh, may it be so today here in this church, in the hearts of boys, girls, teenagers, adults, older ones, seniors, that their hearts would be opened for the first time, but also by renewal. Oh, look upon us then in mercy through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Lord, thou can righteously and justly pass us by because of all our sins against thee, also all the sins of all thy dear people. Oh, they may remain wretched in self, so sinful, in thoughts, in words, and deeds, and of themselves, they can bring forth nothing good. O Lord, we beg thee then, come among us, work mightily with thy Holy Spirit, blow among us, give life, and give also, that thy people may be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that grace that thou hast planted in their hearts, that it may be a living faith today, that thou would give them the exercise of faith to look outside of self, to look unto thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then richly bless thy word here in Cortland, that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified, that lost sinners become lost sinners, and guilty sinners, unworthy sinners, wretched sinners, and that precious name of that only Savior, oh, that he may become so necessary as that mediator to reconcile with a holy and just God and a poor, needy sinner, but also that he may become that one, that prophet, that priest and king, the Lamb of God, the Lord our righteousness, that one who has everything for a people who need everything and have nothing. Oh, wilt thou then bring himself to that place of death, strip sinners of all their self-righteousnesses, and that his righteousness may become so precious, suitable, and that he may be adored. O wilt thou come among us as that good shepherd and speak. O thy little lambs and the sheep long to hear thy voice again. They cannot follow any other one, but they long that thou would speak, that thou would say unto their souls, I am thy salvation. Lord, then in thy mercy come, do it for thy name's sake, and for the comfort of thy poor and needy people. Remember the hungry ones, feed them with the bread of life. Remember the thirsty ones, wilt thou give, then by thy grace, a little refreshment from thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted. The consequences of sin are many, and we have brought it upon ourselves. It's our guilt. But may we beg thee, remember those that suffer from diseases and sicknesses and are receiving treatments, family members, but also those among us. And may we ask thee to remember Mr. Jeff Veldesgraf. Lord, he is waiting also to hear from the doctor as the tests he has received and the results, and then he's waiting. Lord, remember him for his body. Thou art the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible with thee, but may we also surround him with the needs for his never-dying soul, but for each one of us. We all have a death sentence. Thou hast said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The wages of sin is death. Oh, may we all see it. May we feel it. May we know it. May there come that urgency that I must be saved, that I must be reconciled, that I must be made righteous, that I need to be cleansed, that I need to be washed. But how? Oh, wilt thou then instruct by that precious gospel of that only Savior, that in him is that blood to cleanse the most vile of sinners, and that he has the robe of righteousness to clothe sinners who only learn and know that they only have filthy rags. Oh, we beg thee then, look upon us in mercy. Lord, may we lay before thee all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost a child, a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend, a classmate. Sanctify all the callings that come unto us. Lord, we beg thee, break hearts, renew hearts, and teach and lead and guide. O, wilt thou translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, we pray that thou would richly bless thy word then throughout the entire world on thy day. Help all thy servants, all whom thou hast called. Wilt thou give what is needed? We're sons of men, but may we be instruments in thy hand, that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that the people may listen. It's the word of God, and that thou would apply by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless thy word then among thy dear covenant people, among the Jews, but also among Gentiles. Lord, thou hast promised they will come from the east and the west, north and the south, and it will be through thy precious word applied by the power of the Holy Spirit that sinners will be born again and come to know that only name, that name whereby we must be saved, the name of thy dear Son. Lord, remember then all elders, deacons, not only in this congregation, but throughout the denomination and throughout the world. Oh, give each one what they need, and all their insufficiencies may they be given to be before thee on their knees, needing thee, and that thou would help. Thy grace is sufficient. Oh, in all their weaknesses and incapabilities, may they be brought to need, to rest, and to look unto the King of the Church. Lord, remember the work also that is done in Bolivia. Richly bless it. Help the office bearers there, elders, deacons, thy servants, ambassadors. Remember Pastor Marco, the church workers, and their families, but especially remember the Bolivian people. Oh, may thy word be richly blessed, that many may come to know thee, the only true living God, and the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Lord, wilt thou give much prayer? May we have been on our knees already before coming to thy house, but may we also be a praying congregation, that thou would gather with us, that thou would rend the heavens and give opening to preach thy word, but opening also to hear, opening of hearts, opening of darkened minds, open spiritually blind eyes and deaf ears to hear thy voice, to see who we are, but also wilt thou reveal thy precious Son. Oh, that poor needy sinners may come to truly see him with that eye of faith and have that only comfort in life and in death. Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word. Give the words. Guide by thy Spirit. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in listening and in preaching. Bound up the evil one. Cast him out and give us a good hour in thy house, in thy favor, with thy blessing. Lord, we deserve nothing. We have left thee never to return. What a wonder thou art yet willing to speak unto us, that in thy mercy that thou hast sent also unto us and to our children the gospel message. Oh, wilt thou then bless it by the power, irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would look upon us, hear us, answer us, and visit us because of him who is sitting at thy right hand, the one whom thou hast exalted as Lord of lords and King of kings. Oh, may our prayers be heard through him, that ever interceding and thanking high priest, and that thou would visit us. Lord, we ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 432, and we'll sing all four stanzas. God Jehovah reigns, his are all domains. Tremble at his word, peoples who have heard of the power of him who mid cherubim his great throne has taken. Let the earth be shaken. 432, all four stanzas. And the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Congregation, children, teenagers, in our imagination, I want to take you to a jail. Not a jail in one of our cities, but in Rome, in Philippi. This was not a nice place to live. It was a terrible place. It was gloomy, sad. There was a lot of swearing, cursing, fighting. It's not a place you'd want to go to live. It's not a place where you would be treated good. It was a place of much sin. And in this jail, there's a man who has the responsibility of all the prisoners. He is called the jailer, as we read in Acts 16, verse 23. And jailers were valued and respected men by the Romans. They were strong, valiant warriors. They had earned a reputation by fighting in different wars. And it was their job in these jails, in these prisons, to secure the prisoners, that none of them would escape. Because if one of them would escape, it was their life for the prisoner. And therefore, the jailers were known to be very hard, cruel, inhumane, merciless men. And the jailer in this jail in Philippi that we read of in Acts 16 probably also had these same characteristics. He was a hard man. He had no mercy for the prisoners. He was never going to let one of them ever escape that he would need to die for them. So you have a little picture in your mind of a jailer in the city. Simply, he was a hard, brutal, careless, merciless man. Now a question. Do you think this man can be saved? Do you think this hard, cruel, merciless man can be saved? When Paul entered Philippi, do you think it even entered into his mind that the jailer could be a recipient of God's grace? We hear of the wonderful works of Lydia. We hear of the damsel. But do you think he entered that city, that the jailer? But maybe the question for you this morning, can I be saved? Can my son, can my husband, can my wife, can I be saved? Well, we study and listen and preach the history, the word of God. Why? So that they may set their hope in God. It's because in him, out of his sovereign good pleasure, that he saves sinners upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, working irresistibly by the Holy Spirit. So this jailer has many prisoners under his responsibility, and yet the jailer is a prisoner. He is a prisoner. He's a spiritual prisoner because he's under bondage. He's dead. He's under the bondage of Satan, sin, the world, and his own flesh. And that's all of us. By nature, we are born in bondage, spiritual bondage. And we're unwilling and we're unable to deliver ourselves. Who? Who can? Who has the power? Who has the willingness to save such depraved, lost sinners? There's only one. And that's the Almighty God. May I ask you to open your Bible to Psalm or to Isaiah 42, where we read of a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 42, and we will read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. And this is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. The jailer is a Gentile. And now listen, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the house of prison. And we read also in Isaiah 61, in that first verse, of that prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. Simply we read, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So God's saving grace for Gentiles, for those in spiritual bondage, and the Jews need it just as much. God, out of his free and sovereign grace, liberates. He gives liberty. He delivers out of that bondage of sin, of death, and of the world, and of flesh. He renews and convicts them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they begin to seek God. They begin to hunger for him, and they begin to cry for a need to be delivered for salvation. And faith is worked by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord works by the preaching of the gospel, faith in the hearts for sinners to hear and then to believe in that only Savior. And there comes liberty. There comes true freedom. There comes real, true, profound joy in the heart of sinners. And this is what we see in the life of the jailer. And so with the Lord's help, we will consider this morning the history of the jailer. Actually, not the history of the jailer, but the work of God that brings dead sinners out of bondage into true liberty. It's about God. And so I will only read at this time verses 30 and 31. Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." So far from God's words. And so with the Lord's help and with the blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit, we will consider the following theme with three thoughts. The theme, a spiritually bound prisoner delivered. A spiritually bound prisoner delivered. Have you been delivered? Or are you still under bondage? God has the power to deliver sinners under bondage. So a spiritually bound prisoner delivered. First thought, the darkness of bondage. The darkness of bondage. This jailer is under bondage. He doesn't even see it. You know it and you confess it, but have you seen it? Have you felt it? So that's the first thought, the darkness of bondage. And we'll consider that from verses 20 through 26. Second, the cry of conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. This jailer in the bonds of death and under Satan is awakened, made alive, and there comes a cry. It's a conviction from his heart. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" As we read in verse 30. And then the third thought, the joy of deliverance. The joy of deliverance. We read in verse 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And then we read in verse 34, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." So a spiritually bound prisoner delivered. The darkness of bondage, the cry of conviction, and the joy of deliverance. So our first thought, the darkness of bondage. Let's go back to that jail. Let's go back to that prison in Philippi. In this prison, there are two men in that prison. Are they bad men? Are they murderers? No, they are those who have been preaching the gospel of repentance and faith. Repentance from all sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they? Children, who are those two men in this jail? You know their name, Paul and Silas. Why were they put in jail? Well, we read in this history, in Acts 16, that there was a damsel under bondage of an evil spirit. And there, they, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, liberated him. The Lord Jesus did, through them, as instruments, liberated this damsel from the power of an evil spirit. And those owners of this girl became very upset because through her work, her soothsaying, they had made much money. And they were very upset. So they caught Paul and Silas. And we read in verse 20 and 21. and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So what was the result? Well, we read the result in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So they were beaten. And now when they were beaten, they were given into the charge of the jailer at the prison. We read in verse 23, And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, to secure them in that prison. In prison. And then we read in verse 24, Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So what does it mean? Thrust them into the inner prison. Well, in those prisons in that time, they had an outer part of the prison and they had an inner part of the prison. The outer part, there was more fresh air. It was not such a miserable place. There was a little more freedom. But there was also an inner part where there was not much light. It was dark, stinky. And they were cut off from all the other prisons by bars and gates and locks. So the inner prison had extra security, extra measure that these prisoners would not escape. It was a place for the worst criminals. And so Paul and Silas are thrust into the inner part of the prison by the jailer. And in this inner prison, the prisoners could hardly even move. Why? Because they were in stocks, their feet were locked, and their arms were chained to the walls, and so they would lay there, or maybe possibly be able to sit on the hard, cold stone, laid, stretched out, uncomfortable. And the only time an arm would be released is if they could eat a little something, a little food or a drink of water. And this was their life in the inner prison day after day. And the prisoners in the outer part, they are very used to hearing, swearing, cursing, foul language of prisoners in the inner parts. And so when the jailer received Paul and Silas, he was happy to obey the command of the sergeants, of the magistrates, and he treated them with power and with cruelty. The jailer probably heard. He probably heard that these men were preaching about someone called Jesus, Jesus Christ. He possibly also heard about Lydia, that her heart was opened. He most certainly heard about the damsel, that they had delivered her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the jailer also possibly heard of others who preached in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who were in prison and who had been wonderfully, miraculously delivered. For example, as Peter, as we read in Acts 12. Therefore, he was absolutely determined that these two men were not going to escape. He was not going to die for some men that only spoke about a man called Jesus Christ. So what did he do? What do we know from the chapter? He cruelly, without any mercy, secured them in the inner prison with extra diligence. The jailer didn't lead them. He didn't guide them into that inner prison. No, we read that in verse 24 that he thrust them into the inner prison. Literally, you know what it means? He took them and he just threw them in there. No care, no heart, no mercy. A hard, dead, cold jailer. He violently just cast them into the cell. He knew their backs were bleeding, they were wounded, they were suffering, but he didn't have any care, nothing. And he forces them into the stocks, and he ties their arms chained to the walls. There, Paul and Silas, two servants of the Almighty God, ambassadors of Jesus Christ, lay on that cold, hard floor, wounded, bleeding, and the jailer has no pity. There's not any love for these men at all. This man is dead. He's an absolutely dead, hard, cold sinner under the bondage of Satan. And so you see him leaving. He locks the door. He locks the gates. And he goes to his house, feeling most certainly that these two men will never, ever escape. And he goes to his house, and he can peacefully rest. Peacefully rest. He goes to his bed without any troubles, any concerns, any thoughts. Why? Because he's an absolute, uncaring, hard, cruel, dead sinner. He's actually a prisoner. Paul and Silas are not actually the prisoners, but this jailer is born as you and me. He's a prisoner under the bondage of Satan, dead. But why? Why can such a man sleep so easily? It's very well possible that he has heard, maybe a little, something about the name of the preaching of Jesus. But he is spiritually asleep. He's spiritually dead, lost. And so he only cares about himself. He doesn't care about his neighbor. He doesn't have any love. He doesn't have any thought for eternity. He doesn't have any thought for God. He doesn't struggle with sin. He doesn't struggle with flesh. He doesn't see that he needs to die and stand before an almighty God. He doesn't have the cry of Paul in Romans 7 verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He doesn't know anything about a war, an inner war, fighting against sin, fighting against temptation. He's in darkness, spiritual darkness. He's absolute, complete bondage. He only thinks about himself. He's satisfied with his job. He's satisfied with his future. And he can just go to sleep at night, resting calmly on his bed, hanging over the abyss of hell. Dead. In bondage. And he's content. No stirrings. We don't read anything of this in this jailer's at all of his life. And now, my friend, what about you? Let's look away from that jailer and look in your own heart. Are you like this jailer? You say, I've never been a jailer. I don't want to be a jailer. I don't resemble him. And yet you do, my friend, unconverted friend. But you know what's worse? This man, how much knowledge did he have? We can't blame this man. Yes, in Adam he departed from God. But how much did he know? How much did he hear? But how much have you heard? Sunday after Sunday. How many times have your parents taught you, instructed you about sin, of death, hell, heaven? Death in Adam, life in Christ. How many times have you come to church to hear law and gospel? And you know it. You know you're under the sentence of death. But are you just calmly? Can you just calmly go to bed at night? Who are we by nature? What did Paul say? Dead in sins and trespasses. We're like the prodigal son. We're physically alive. But what do we read of him? In Luke 15, verse 24, For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and found, and they began to be merry. Congregation, you and I were created for one thing. We were created not under bondage, but we are created under absolute liberty, with delight to serve God. But we left him. We've forsaken him, and we brought ourselves in bondage. It's our guilt. It's our sin, and we are all guilty. And now, instead of longing to serve God, instead of longing to serve and to seek that only Savior, we are only absolutely self-centered, even under the truth of the Word of God. And we have one big idol, and that is me, myself, and I. We are happy if we get what we want, when we want, where we want, and how we want it. And by nature, we are only following self with all the truth. And we can go to bed so peacefully at night, going to sleep, hanging over the abyss of hell, in bondage, under the bondage of sin, Satan in the world, knowing the truth, confessing the truth, dead. What a state. Is that still you? Self is your goal. Satan is your king. And you serve sin. and the world is your desire, no longing for anything. Unconverted friend, you resemble this jailer, even though literally you are not a jailer, because by nature, without God's grace, you are in the same condition, in the darkness of bondage. And we are so foolish. So foolish we can continue in our life and we think to still serve the world and self under all this truth is actually freedom. But it's not freedom at all. It's just absolute, miserable, deep, dark bondage. No joy, no peace, no hope, just lost. Is that still you? Under the bondage of sin? This jailer didn't even realize it. Such a horrible condition. But you know it. But as it come home by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's a prisoner. He's a prisoner and he has prisoners under him. But he's a spiritual prisoner. A prisoner to himself, to sin, to Satan, to the world. And he's blind. Satan delights to keep all those under bondage blind. But Paul and Silas, what an absolute difference. They were born under this bondage, but they've been delivered by the free and sovereign grace of God, by the power and by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May I ask you, my friend, think about it this morning. Are you free? Have you been made free? Oh, those poor beggars say, oh, to know I'm free. But in reality, by the work of grace, they have been made free. But to feel free is something else. But may I ask you, are you still dead? Are you still under bondage, confessing the truth, and just going to bed at night and resting quietly, calmly, waiting for the next day? No cares, no concerns. That was this jailer. This jailer. He was only living according to himself, his own pleasures. He had no repentance. He had absolutely no faith. He was in bondage, in absolute darkness of bondage. The world and Satan had his heart. Is that still you? Living for everything except for the Lord, for his will, for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still in bondage? Or has God sought you, found you, and liberated you? Paul and Silas, they're in prison. But they're not under bondage. They have physical bonds, but they've been made free by the precious saving grace of an almighty triune God. Let's go back to that prison again. Let's look in that prison in Philippi. So the jailer has secured these two men. In the inner prison, it's nighttime. It's dark. Sleeping. They're sleeping. He goes to bed. It's dark in his soul. He's under bondage. It's nighttime. But what's happening in the prison, in that inner prison, in the nighttime? What's happening, children? You know what's happening. What are Paul and Silas doing? Are they also just laying there comfortably sleeping? No, we read. We read something in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So where are they? Are they at home? Did they escape? Did an angel come and deliver? No, they're still in prison. They're still bleeding, maybe. They're in that place, bound, in a prison, suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they begin to pray. And they begin to sing. We may know they were praying out loud, and they were singing out loud, because the prisoners heard them. Do you see what a difference it is? These two men in prison, and yet free, liberated by the free and sovereign grace, and they could pray, and they could sing. And you see that jailer dead under the bondage of sin, Satan, in his bed, sleeping, but under bondage. Paul and Silas are not complaining. We don't hear any complaint. We don't hear any murmuring. No, they're singing. They're singing. How can they sing? How can they sing in such a situation? Do they understand everything that's happening? Is that it? They understand the full counsel of? Not at all. They don't understand. Maybe they did have questions in their heart. But they look above all the circumstances. They look above. They look to the Almighty God. They look to the ascended Savior, their Savior. and in the circumstances that they don't understand possibly at all. They look above it all and they put their hope and their trust in the Almighty God. Open your Bible to Romans 8. These two servants of God knew something of what we read in Romans 8, verse 28 and verse 31. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then also Romans 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul and Silas knew something of this by the grace and the Spirit of God. What an absolute complete difference. Two children of God liberated in a horrible circumstance, suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, and can pray and sing, looking above, trusting in him, although they don't understand it, knowing that if God be for us, we can suffer, we can be tortured, we can be sick, we can be dying, we can experience all the wrath of men and of Satan, but if God be for us, who can really be against us? But that dead sinner on his bed, the whole world can be for him. But if God be against him, what does it benefit? My friend, you who are yet lost under the bondage of sin, you may be so comfortable confessing, but the whole world can be for you. But if God be against you, then how does it help? What a great difference. What a glorious difference grace makes. God's free and sovereign grace. These two men, bound in prison, yet free in their soul, could just pray and could sing. And when grace is an exercise in the heart of God's people, they may be brought into very difficult, deep circumstances. They could be sick and dying. They could have a death sentence with cancer. They can experience deep grief of losing a child, a husband, a wife, or a multitude of other things because of the consequences of sin. But when grace and faith isn't exercised by grace, and they just may look above it all, then they can pray. And they can even sing because of him, because of the Almighty One. What a blessed people. What were they singing? We don't know. Children, maybe they were singing Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe. We don't know. But what happened in that prison? The prisoners heard them, as we read in verse 25. Maybe they were so used to hearing, those prisoners, hearing swearing, cursing, but now they hear something absolutely, completely different. Maybe they never, ever heard that ever, coming from the inner prison, praying and singing, singing psalms of praise. And they were probably wondering, who are these new prisoners? Who are they? So Paul and Silas were singing. Well, the jailer is sleeping. Paul and Silas count it joy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 6, verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. My friend, have you been liberated? Look at these two men. What a lesson for God's children. Not only to be thankful, to sing and to pray in prosperous times, but also in adversity, in deep ways, depending upon the grace and the Holy Spirit. And yet to sing and to praise the Lord in affliction and in trials, in sickness and even unto death, as we know as the martyrs. And now while Paul and Silas are singing, something happens, something astonishing. There's an earthquake, and suddenly the chains from Paul and Silas fall off, and all the doors are open, and all the prisoners, all the bonds come off. All of them? Let's read verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. All the prisoners were free. You see them all? All their doors are open. What a miracle. God does a miracle. But there's something else astonishing. not one of them tries to escape. You say, is that astonishing? Well, I've visited prisons in Canada, and some of you visit prisons here. What a blessing to bring the word of God, to simply share with them. But there's impressive security. Gates, bars, guns, towers, dogs. Why? Because if any of these prisoners had even the slightest opportunity to escape, they would flee as quick as they could. They want to be free. But here, no one tries to escape. No one leaves. They all stay in the place where they are. They're all impressed. They heard praying. They heard singing. But they also felt the earthquake. The earthquake. The Lord spoke. And Paul and Silas are free. Free now also from physical bondage. But a greater miracle is going to take place. What's that? Then we go to our second thought. Another man is going to be liberated. He's going to be freed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who? The jailer. And so we come to our second thought. The cry of conviction. The jailer was sleeping. Because if you follow the order of the text, the jailer was sleeping when Paul and Silas was praying and singing. So he very well did not hear the beautiful choir. He didn't hear that name of God. But now an earthquake, verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So the jailer is awakened. He's awakened from the earthquake. And I imagine you see him coming out of his room or wherever he is, probably connected to that prison. He could look in and he could see. And he comes into the courtyard, so to speak, and he sees by the dimness of the light that the doors are opened. And he imagines that all the prisoners all have escaped. That means one thing, I must die. But he's not willing to die. No, they're not going to catch him and put him to death. He will take something. He will do something himself. You see this man in the deep darkness of the bondage of sin. What he's going to do? This man, lost, dead, hard, cold. He's going to take his own life. He takes out his sword and he's going to end his life. It's all hopeless. Absolutely no hope. But then suddenly, before he's allowed to do that, he hears a voice. He hears someone speaking loudly. Paul speaks loudly. We read in verse 28, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then the jailer calls for a light. And he sees clearly through the light that the doors are open, that all the prisoners are free, but they're all sitting in their cells in their room. And it becomes amazing to him. Not one of them has escaped. So what did he do? Did he run from cell to cell, locking the doors, securing all the prisoners? No, he doesn't think about that at all anymore. Why? Something happened mysteriously by the free and sovereign grace of God and the heart of this man that was dead in sins, in the bondage, in spiritual bondage. That no eye can see, that no man can do, no woman, no nothing, no Paul, no Silas. Something by the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that shakes him awake. And God becomes real to this man for the first time in his life. He's physically awake, but he's shaken awake by the means of God, by an earthquake, by the power of God, spiritually awoken, mysteriously. Light poured into his dark, dark soul of this man in bondage. Now he feels his bonds. No, he doesn't have bonds on his hands and on his feet, children. But he feels his spiritual bonds. He feels his own spiritual imprisonment. He begins to tremble before God. We read in verse 29. Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He forgets about all other things. There is something so much more important upon the soul of this man that he never ever felt in his life before. There is a greater problem. Any problem of any prisoner ever escaping. What is it? The earthquake shook this man awake, But the Holy Spirit awoken this man spiritually. Light poured in his soul. He's taken a hold of, he's made alive. This dead sinner in the bondage of sin and of Satan is made alive. Suddenly, he has to deal with his own soul before an almighty God, and he begins to tremble. He's trembling. We read it. Have you ever trembled? Or do you hear the truth? You can rest on your bed, just go to sleep, knowing the truth, confessing the truth, dead, in bondage, and you never, ever have trembled. When God awakes sinners and they have a little understanding of who God is and of who they are, and they must meet him, they begin to tremble. And God looks especially upon those who tremble at his word, as we read in Isaiah. Suddenly, he sees it. He sees the need of his soul. And he sees he needs to be reconciled with God. His spiritual eyes are open, open. He becomes the prisoner. He becomes the one that needs to be loosed. And so out of his heart, out of his soul, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he knows he must be saved. He must be delivered. He's convicted. So what does he do? What does he ask, children? What do we read in verse 30? A very beautiful question. And when we go to visit people, we go for house visitation, or you have a visit, you long to hear exactly this question. Oh, that would be music to our ears to hear out of the heart of a poor sinner. What? What we read in verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And so we see in this amazing history, the wonderful providence of God. God brought his two servants. They didn't understand it. Why did they need to go to prison? But he brought them there so they could be there, those ambassadors of Jesus Christ, so that this man, that he may come to them, and that he may ask them this question, why did he go to them? Well, he knew enough. How much he knew, we do not know. But he knew enough. He knew enough. He was convicted of the truth. God is real, and I am a sinner. And he knew that these two men that he heard, that they were preachers of the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he wants to hear. Now he wants to know. Before, he couldn't care less. He had absolutely no need. But now he comes. You see him trembling, bowing, taking Paul and Silas out of prison, and bowing before them and just crying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Is that your question? Do you know this question in your heart, in your soul, in your life? Do you were dead in bondage, but you're made alive, and you just don't know it? You don't know the way? You don't know what to do? What must I do? What must I do to be saved? Let's think of this question. Let's take it word by word. No, this man is not like the rich young ruler who came and asked, what must I do to inherit? No, law sinners, they cannot inherit. But they have a question. What must I do to be saved? He says, sirs, those men that he violently, cruelly just threw into the prison, no heart, no care, now he has respect. You see what grace does? It changes the heart so radically. Now he cares for others. Others he had absolutely no care for. Sirs, but then we read, what must I do to be saved? There comes an urgency. It's not possibly, maybe, I think. No, must. What must I do to be saved? There's urgency. He needs to be saved. He needs to be delivered. And that's our problem. So. Not so bad, not so good. No urgency. Confessing the truth, lost, under bondage, knowing the truth, but no urgency. What must I do? Is it urgency? Do you understand something of the urgency? Sirs, what must I do? It becomes so personal. Others need to be saved. I know others have been, but I need to be saved. I need to meet God. I need to be forgiven. I need to be reconciled. Urgency. What must I do to be saved? He wants to do something. He hears, what must I do? All those newborn ones, they need to learn. What lessons we need to learn. We want to do something. Is that you? What must I do? You want to do something? And we would do everything at that state. And we try to do everything, but we don't do the one thing. And that's what we'll hear in a moment. Because we're enemies. We're proud. We need to be stripped. We need to be made completely guilty. This man is alive. He's alive. He has urgency. What must I do to be saved? That word saved, that means to be delivered from the greatest depths of evil and sin and to be restored unto the greatest good. What must I need to be saved? I need to be delivered from sin. I need to be delivered from the bondage of Satan. I need to be reconciled with God. I need to be brought back into communion and reconciliation. How can I be delivered from the depth of sin that I plunge myself into and I'm absolutely unable to ever deliver myself? Is that you? Do you know something of this question? Do you? By the work of the Holy Spirit, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? How can I be reconciled with God? How can I experience a little favor? How can I experience something of the communion instead of all his wrath, which I so justly deserve? By the work of the Holy Spirit, this man is made alive. He is already liberated from bondage, but now he seeks to know that for his own heart and soul, he can't just solve it himself. Those poor sinners need help. They need help from the almighty triune God. And so they begin to cry to him. What must I do to be saved? Is this your heart? Is this your questions? How will Paul and Silas answer? How would you answer? How must I answer? How must the elders and deacons answer such questions? Well, before we consider that, let us first sing from Psalter 188. Stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly, disgrace. 188, 1, 3, and 4. Thank you. the darkness of bondage, the cry of conviction, and now our third thought, the joy of deliverance. How will Paul and Silas answer this man? This man that has a question out of the depths of his soul. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What should be my answer to you? What should be the office bearer's answer to poor sinners that pour out their hearts and ask this question? Should we send them to the law? You need to work harder. You need to know more of your misery. You need to learn more of this. What does Paul and Silas do? What do they do? Let's read it from God's word. Verse 31 and 32. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So Paul and Silas preached the gospel. Could you see them sitting there together, or standing? Paul and Silas opened their mouth. What a joy to just preach the gospel. To just lift up that only Savior before needy, lost beggars. They just tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is that all they did? No, they also preached about Jesus. We read in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. So they present before this man who the Lord Jesus Christ is, because how can he believe in someone he doesn't know? How does faith come? By hearing the word, as we read in Romans 10. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, that precious gospel. And so you see them together. And then what did they all say about the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't have time to even begin, because there's so much to speak about such a rich, precious Savior. But I'm sure they told him, listen, poor sinner, you who are crying, what must I do to be saved? At your wit's end. No more hope in self, but longing to hear. Listen, may the Lord give it to speak a little of that precious Savior. He's the only mediator. There's a mediator, a God-given mediator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because only through him can sinners be saved, because he's the mediator. He's the head of the covenant. He came to give himself for who? For transgressors, for lawbreakers, for those who left God in paradise and who can do no good, who cannot keep his law and keep sinning and sinning and sinning. But he's the perfect mediator, because he's the Lord, our righteousness. He has no sin. He did no sin. So he has that righteousness for sinners who are unrighteous, who need to be righteous, because without that they cannot be saved. And so you see Paul, I'm certain he told them of that precious name, Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Thou must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? His name is Jesus. He came to this world. He came to give himself as the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. He came to give himself, and he went to that cross to give himself under the justice of God, to satisfy it for those who must pay, who must satisfy, and who have nothing. All this jailer knows he's sin, and he needs a Savior for a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior for righteous ones. We would understand that, but that's not it. That's not the gospel. He came for sinners, because he can only find sinners, wretched sinners, guilty sinners, hell-worthy sinners, vile sinners, hard sinners, cruel sin, uncaring sinners, wicked sinners, sinners who have absolutely nothing. He came to give everything, absolutely everything, for those who have nothing. I'm sure he also told them also about the blood, that you need blood, jailer. You need the blood of the Lamb. You need to be covered. You need to be washed from your sin. How? I remember that Bolivian asked me, where's the fountain? Where's the fountain for cleansing? Is that your question? Where's the fountain? I need to point you to one place. On the cross, there's the fountain. There's the fountain where the wrath of God, the sword of God's justice, fell upon his own dear son. And there the fountain flowed for cleansing. That blood, he was pierced. He has that blood that cleanses from all sin. Original sin, yes. All sin, all sins of all commandments, yes. It's in him, the Lamb of God, that precious Savior, and he calls. Paul could present him, proclaim him, and he calls, look unto me and be ye saved. But I'm so vile. I'm so wretched. My sins are as black as hell. Listen, Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. How? Through the blood. That all atoning blood of the Lamb of God. What must I do to be saved? Believe on that only name. Trust in him. Let go of absolutely everything. Surrender. What a place to be, to just become absolutely lost, absolutely guilty, ungodly with everything you have and everything you experience, and yet to look, to hear of who he is, and just to look, to trust in him. I need him. You see the jailer? He believed and he had profound joy. You say, how do I know if I ever truly believed in him? Then you will know something also of joy. We read in verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Sorrow, absolutely, because of sin. And who I remain to be? Godly sorrow that never leaves until you die. But they also come to know something in him, and that Almighty God, and in that precious Savior, of true joy. And so we see this jailer, born under bondage, that morning when these two prisoners were brought to jail, under bondage of sin, hard, cruel, dead. His whole family lost, going to bed, awoken in the middle of the night by an earthquake, and then to come, and to be brought, bowing, trembling before these two sinful servants of God. And they may proclaim the gospel. They may proclaim that only name whereby men must be saved. And they can just listen. And they hear. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they believe. And they have joy. And they were baptized. What a beautiful day. What a change. What an absolute radical change in the hearts of sinners. Because of them. No, because of God. He came to proclaim liberty, and he has the power to deliver such wretched sinners. He has power to deliver you, my friend. He has power to deliver you. That's the hope. Hope is in God, in the Father, the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit, all upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it flows out of the heart of his good pleasure. Salvation is of God. From death to life, from bondage to liberty. Liberty. This jailer was sleeping while Paul and Silas were singing. But now they're together. Now they're singing. Now they're praising forever together. What a beautiful thing. He who preached and he who heard, the same grace that taught them both, may be together praising the triune God eternally. That's heaven. Praising God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amazing grace for a wretch like me. My friend, have no comfort, have no rest. May you be shaken awake today that you're in the bondage of sin, unconverted friends. Not just confessing it, but it becomes an urgency, and that you may cry, what must I do to be saved? And through the blessing of the gospel, you may be saved by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, will you be with them? Or will you, with all the knowledge of your truth, cast out? Then you will not be praising, you will be cursing. But my prayer is for every one of you, that by the Almighty God of his free and sovereign grace, that you may be saved from bondage by him, for him, and it will be forever to him. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily, powerfully, irresistibly. Thou who hast delivered the jailer and his family from the bondage of sin, Satan, and the world, who has delivered from spiritual death and darkness and bondage. Thou art that same ever-living, almighty, faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. We beg thee, work among us. Convert the Pharisee. Convert the prodigal one. Convert those who are so comfortably lost under the truth. And, draw those poor, needy sinners who are crying, what must I do to be saved? May they have heard a little something of the wonders of thy grace. May they hear something of that precious Savior and have been drawn unto him, that they may have that faith, God-given faith, to look away from self and to trust in thee. And then they will also experience true joy, joy in thee through thy Son. Lord, bless it. We thank thee then for this time together, for thy precious word. Forgive all our sins, preaching and in listening. May we gather again tonight to hear thy precious word, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 293. And yet let us sing all three stanzas, explains what the Lord has done for poor needy sinners. 293, all three stanzas. Rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High, bound in iron and in woe, shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled low with toil and pain, fell and looked for help in vain in what follows. 293, all stanzas. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.